always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Good morning to the people of St. Louis.
All right.
I feel so conflicted whenever I hear that voice.
When I hear Bonner Cohen.
Because it's an amazing voice, first of all. And I feel honored that he would even refer to me, even tangentially, as a person of St. Louis in that way. So I was like, oh, wow. I was like, oh, well, thank you. Good morning to you, sir.
That's right.
And then on the other, I'm a radio guy now. And his voice is enviable to the nth degree.
Right. Without a doubt.
My goodness.
By the way, it's opening day today. And Ed on Rumble says, I think it's classic that Ohtani and the interpreter are with the Dodgers. They keep dodging questions.
I see what he did there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he also asked, he said, have any line on the Cards-Dodgers game today? Know any interpreters?
I did see a meme that had Ohtani in the on-deck circle,
yep, I saw this, yep.
And another...
Mookie Betts.
Yes, exactly, Mookie Betts. So he had Ohtani Betts.
That's right.
Next to each other.
Oh, man.
You can see the back of their uniforms.
That's right. All right, let's see here. The Ron DeSantis and his legislative colleagues show that some good changes can happen very fast.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen.
Oh, yeah.
Squatters having a very bad day in Florida. By the way, don't forget, tomorrow, Flashback Friday. And so this is probably your last chance here in the next hour to get your request in for 80s bump music. Got some good ones that were sent in today, at least on Rumble. And I think you had a couple on Facebook as well.
Yes.
You can also email STEL, Stel at newstalkstl.com, or me, Mike at newstalkstl.com as well. Okay, so the Florida legislature and Ron DeSantis, they're just really kind of showing how it's done here.
Yeah.
The squatters thing, squatters' rights came back into the news, kind of became the news trend here, not even, what, a couple weeks ago?
Maybe a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. There was a story out of Queens, New York, a TV story that showed just how ridiculous this has gotten. And then there's a video on TikTok from an illegal immigrant who is now running for his life right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically said the United States has squatters' rights laws. Follow me and I'll show you how you can commandeer homes. And his word was invade.
Right.
Take over homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not sitting well. Even the Biden administration is like, that's really embarrassing. Go get that guy.
Right.
Because it's making it worse. But up until yesterday, all 50 states had some laws that dealt with squatters' rights. Well, there should not be any squatters' rights.
No.
Period.
Yeah. Zero.
At all.
You can't squat anywhere.
That's right. And so the Florida legislature, working with Governor DeSantis, they put together a law, and if you want to look it up yourself, it was called HB 621, which has now been signed into law by the governor. And it makes it a crime to break into somebody else's property and squat. But more importantly, it converts it from a civil case to a criminal case, and it allows police to recognize what's happening as a crime.
Right.
And remove the criminal.
Right.
I mean, you think about the logic here.
Yeah.
Somebody steals your car.
Mm-hmm.
They catch you in your car. They arrest
they them in your car.
Yeah, they catch them in your car.
Mm-hmm.
They get arrested and you get your car back.
Immediately.
Right.
It's like, hey, 911, what's your emergency? Some guy stole my car. It's a this year, that mm-hmm. model. And they find this year, that model with somebody else in it.
Right.
And then they, like you said, they arrest the guy and they give you your car back.
But for some reason, the squatting thing was treated like a civil case, like a landlord-tenant thing, when the tenants weren't actually tenants. They were thieves.
Right. 911. Hey, yes, there's some guy. He's just been living in my house. I inherited from my mom. I'm sorry, but that's a civil matter.
Can't help you with that.
Excuse me, what?
They literally are stealing something worth $100,000, $150,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000.
If it was vehicle, it would be grand theft auto.
Right, exactly. So here's part of what Governor DeSantis said at the sort of press availability ceremony signing this into law.
You assume in America
if you purchase a home and own a residence, that that's your residence. That if you happen to maybe split time in Orlando and Michigan, that if you go to Michigan over the summer, people aren't going to be able to just move into your house and then claim squatter's rights on your private residence.
So essentially, if for this to happen in Missouri or Illinois, I mean, basically somebody has to be in the process of breaking into your home. But if you get back from wherever, vacation, contract job, sabbatical, caring for a sick relative, you get back, you've been gone for a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever, and somebody's living in your home in Missouri and Illinois, for the most part, that is a civil matter.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. Florida's getting this right. So under the new law in Florida, the property owner can call the cops. And assuming that property owner can say, look, here's my mortgage, here's my tax receipt, whatever it is, this is my house. They can probably do a quick search in their computer system and go, yeah, Joe Smith. Mm-hmm. And if somebody is in there, they've been told to leave, they're not doing it, the cops simply arrest them. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes it a first degree misdemeanor to make a false statement or provide false documents claiming property rights when they're not yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's a second-degree felony for squatters who cause $1,000 or more in damages, and it's a first-degree felony for advertising the sale or rent of property that you don't actually own that you're squatting on. Now, very quickly, let me just do the little caveat here. If somebody says, oh, so I'm renting an apartment and I get behind on the rent, they're going to call the cops and throw me out. No.
No.
This has this specifically, explicitly does not apply to landlord-tenant disputes where somebody has or had a lease.
Right.
So even if you rent out your lease and you just refuse to move, they still have to go through the eviction process.
Right.
This is literally for the people who break into property that is not theirs, because it happens and it's happening more. I can't think of a single defense where somebody would say, well, think of it from their other perspective. If you can give me something to challenge my thinking on that, call me right now. 314-912-1019. I swear I am all ears.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I want to hear it because I can't think of one.
I can't think of one either. Now, I'm wondering about what, you know, what opposition this could have at all in terms of who would think that this is a politically viable position to take opposite a law like this.
Or a moral position.
Or a moral position. Yeah. No. I mean, now, typically, you know, if somebody told you that Ron DeSantis is doing something, I expect a Democrat to say, oh, I don't like that. So I only think of it in terms of politics. I don't think that they would have a moral argument here.
The only thing I've seen are some of the leftists, you know, Media Matters and some of those folks basically arguing this isn't really a thing. It's just not a big problem. It's you know, he's scoring points and it's just demonizing illegal immigrants.
Oh, I see. They're doing that thing. Okay.
Right. So the deflection thing.
Yeah.
You know, trying to minimize it. But I mentioned before, this is one of those things where I see news reports on it, or I've seen TV shows or videos or whatever. I honestly can't really watch them that much anymore because it makes me so angry.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The unjustness of it, because I'm very passionate about property rights. You cannot have a free market. You cannot have a free society without property rights. Mm-hmm. And squatters, with the endorsement of government, are allowed to violate your property rights in 49 states right now to some degree.
Right.
Now, California and New York, if they can get in there and stick around, you know, for like 30 days, sometimes it's even less than that around the country, they can stake a claim to residency, and then it's on the owner to spend thousands and thousands of dollars in legal fees and wait weeks or months to get your own property back. In Florida, DeSantis and the Republicans, well, and Democrats too, to be fair, the legislature moved this through incredibly fast, incredibly carefully. They said this is something that has to be addressed, and they did it, and they're setting an example for the rest of the country, and I think it provides a lot of hope right now.
Yeah, if every Republican-led state doesn't do this, you know, within the next, I'll give them till next year, you know, what are you even doing? Why? why did anybody vote to put you in government if you can't get this done? Maybe not this year, because, you know, we're getting towards the end of various terms, things, but next year, if Florida could do this in like 6 days, it feels like,
right,
then you should be able to do it in a year.
And by the way, if you're subscribed to our Deuce Talk STL podcast, we're going to have our conversation with State Senator Bill Igel up here in just, you know, a few hours or so.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually said on our air just now, I'm taking the language of that Florida bill, and I want to, we are going to try to get that done this year, in the next 7 weeks,
mm-hmm,
in Missouri. Now, whether he can do that, I don't know, but if there's any opposition to this, and I would say, to your point, Gabe, I would say, well, what are the Democrats going to say about? I'm not worried about the Democrats.
No, no.
What are some of the Republicans going to say about this? I would love to know what any opposition would be, because, again, this should be a complete no-brainer.
Slam dunk.
We have a problem. Yes, it is becoming kind of a trend or fad problem right now, but it's been around for a long time, been mm-hmm around for decades.
Oh, yeah.
All we're doing here is switching this from a civil to a criminal matter, which is where it should be. It's not a terribly complicated thing legally.
No, not at all. And yeah, you know what? Even if this is a very few and far between sort of situation, it's like, oh, how often does this happen? Which is the mm-hmm, you know, the opposition's issue here. You know what? This bill would make a difference for the one person, the two people, three right people a year that this happens to. And as, you know, one of those, basically somebody who could have easily been in that position, that's huge.
Let me give you another reason why every other state should be doing this, because the con artist and the scammers and the illegals and all of these people who are planning on relying on this tactic,
mm-hmm,
they now know, don't go to Florida.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
They're going to go somewhere.
That's true.
So all the other states better say, well, crap.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have them possibly heading to us and to our area. Now, you know, New York is not going to pass a law like this. You know that California is not going to pass a law like this. Illinois, probably not going to. So friends on the Illinois side, mm-hmm, of the News Talk STL listening area,
here it comes.
You need to be on the phone or emailing your state representatives or state senators right now. Look up Florida's, I'm getting the right number here, Florida's HB621. Copy that link, send it saying, we need to do this in Illinois. There are obviously Bill Igel and I'm sure a few others are on this on the Missouri side as well. Let's get this done.
It's an easy textual change, as best I can tell.
Yep. All right. 314-912-1019. Got some thoughts on it? Otherwise, we got some news to dump on you here right around 8:20 on this opening day here on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Wake up, America. It all worked out.
You know, I mean, they got all the news.
The morning news dump.
All right, the Biden administration wants Israel to just get over it, get over here, and do what she's told.
Yeah. Crazy.
All right. Also, Happy New Year, everybody.
Yay!
That's right. great, Gabe. Stell, pipe down. All right, let's go through some of the news. Let's get the update out of Baltimore. Maryland Governor Wes Moore, other state officials providing an update on the relief and the repair and the search efforts regarding the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore. Maryland's state police superintendent, his name is Colonel Roland Butler Jr., announcing that the mission right now has been changed. It is now what they're calling a salvaging operation, as drivers can no longer navigate the structure safely either above water or below.
We have exhausted all search efforts in the areas around this wreckage, and based on sonar scans, we firmly believe that the vehicles are encased in the superstructure.
Okay, so officials say that they have located the remains of two victims that were trapped inside a vehicle that went into the water. That leaves four construction workers unaccounted for, which they are basically sure went into the water as well. And at this point, they don't know where their remains are, but they do know there are vehicles buried under the wreckage underground, which means, or underwater, I should say, which means that it'll be weeks or months, if ever, that they're going to be able to retrieve those.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really tough to think about.
It really is. Okay. Regarding the situation in the Middle East, and this just shows you the incompetence and arrogance, frankly, of the Biden administration, talks have restarted aimed at bringing top Israeli officials to Washington to meet with Biden administration officials.
Prime Minister Netanyahu canceled a planned visit this week because he was angry about the U.S. vote on a U.N. ceasefire resolution. That resolution did not include conditions for the release of hostages held by Hamas. But the White House now says the two sides are working to reschedule a date to discuss potential military operations in Gaza. The Biden administration has urged Israel to call off a promised ground invasion of the southern Gaza city of Rafah. Greg Clugston, Washington.
So in that UN resolution, which remember the rest of the world takes far more seriously than the United States does, the United States stabbed Israel in the back.
Yes.
Israel says, you know what? You wanted us to come to Washington. You wanted us to go halfway around the world to you so that you could lecture us on how we should be defending ourselves. No, we're not doing it. Well, now the Biden administration is saying, hey, we need to negotiate. You need to come over here so we can tell you what we want you to do when it comes to defending yourself against Islamic terrorists.
What the U.S. should have done was reject that U.N.
Veto it,
right, because they had the power to do so and submit their own to call for Hamas to surrender.
Right.
Absolutely.
And we stuck him in the back.
Yep, sure
we
did.
We sold them out. That's
sure
what our administration did.
Mm-hmm.
All right, former Connecticut Democrat turned independent U.S. Senator, in addition to former Democratic vice presidential nominee, and a former speaker at a Republican convention. You remember that? Joe mm-hmm. Lieberman has mm-hmm. died.
Yeah.
His family says he died from complications of a fall. He was 82 years old.
Man. Yeah, I remember him as being basically the first case in my living memory of the left leaving somebody behind by moving further leftward.
Yeah, that's right. And then they did with him. I mean, he was a liberal.
Yeah,
but
liberal.
They left.
Well,
no, not classical.
Not classical,
but traditional
correct. Liberal.
Yeah.
What we used to think of as liberal.
Yeah. So the party, when it moved to the far fringe left, it left people like Joe Lieberman behind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and remember when the No Labels Party was trying to get some traction early mm-hmm. on, and Joe was involved in
yeah.
it.
Yeah, they brought him up.
Some folks were wondering if he was going to be a candidate for that party.
Yeah, that's right. All right, filing to run for office actually isn't over yet in Missouri. Yeah, it turns out there's a quirk in Missouri law that says if a candidate withdraws from a race within 2 days of the filing deadline, then that deadline is extended into the following week. I did not know this until today. This means that the new filing deadline to get into, among others, the 3rd congressional district race and the lieutenant governor's race is now April 5th. And that's because the state senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman and Speaker of the House Dean Plocker backed out of those respective races to run for Secretary of State. I don't understand why that's in the law. If somebody backs out the last minute, I don't know why that means that thing should be extended. If you want to run for the office, run for the office. It shouldn't matter what somebody else does. But there are crowded races in both Lieutenant Governor and in that 3rd District. There's a lot of people in there. But if you want to run, you've got from Tuesday to Friday next week to make up your mind and file the paperwork.
Man, that's weird.
Yeah, but Friday is it. They mean it this time. No do-overs.
I'm guessing this afternoon Tim Jones will have some comments.
Probably.
About this.
Probably, yeah. All right, the Blues are at home tonight hosting the Calgary Flames. Puck drops at 7 o'clock in Enterprise Center. There are 10 games left in the regular season for the Blues. And Happy New Year. Today is opening day of the 2024 MLB season. Cardinals get started this afternoon in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. Miles Michaelis gets the first start of the season. And again, the Cardinals are ready to go for this campaign. They've got everything they need. They're only missing 3 starting outfielders and a starting pitcher.
Oh, man.
All of whom are on the disabled list at the moment. So maybe they're needing a little bit of patience when we get started here. But other than that, they're ready to go.
Oh, boy.
By the way, Bally Sports has the game, which starts at 3:10. I actually am hopeful. 2 things, I think. I'm hopeful that the Cardinals are actually going to have a good season and be in contention in the NL Central. But I do think that it's going to be a dogfight with the Cincinnati Reds, who are much better than they used to be. And I think the Cubs have potential to be contenders. I don't think they've got it put together where they need to be. I'm more worried about them next year than I am this year.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Guess who's in the news again?
I know what you're going to say. And I'm struggling to not say it. I'm struggling to define what the right way and the wrong way is to say this name.
I'm just going to say it the way everybody understands it.
Okay.
Juicy Smollier.
Okay.
Oh, I love his cooking show.
That's right. Juicy Smollier. Back in the news. The Illinois Supreme Court has announced that it is taking up the appeal of the actor formerly known as Jussie Smollett. Because he was convicted in 2021 of faking that attack on him. Remember, I know that you know the story, but it's just so dang funny to recount what happened. So in the middle of the winter in 2019, he says...
One of the coldest nights in Chicago.
So he's walking around in the middle of the night in Chicago, mm-hmm. and a couple of white guys with MAGA hats on called him a bunch of racial slurs and gay slurs.
Gay slurs also,
not just any street either. He's on Lower Wacker Drive, which is underneath the regular Wacker Drive along the Chicago River. So it's not like he's out on Michigan Avenue. No, he's on Lower Wacker.
Yeah. And so a couple of white guys were looking for a gay black guy, I guess, to beat up.
And they recognized him.
Right.
That was the other aspect of it. It's dead of winter in the middle of the night. And at a distance, they recognize the star of Empire, which is probably has the blackest audience of any show ever in the history of the universe. So a couple of white MAGA guys recognize him from Empire.
Put down their copies of Jet Magazine. And went and beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, exactly. And they had a noose.
Forgot about the noose.
They had a noose, and they also had bleach. Like, they threw bleach on him, remember? They doused him with the chemical, and they had a noose with them. So they're just walking around with one guy had the bleach, and one guy had the noose.
At 2 a.m.
At 2 a.m. in Chicago in one of the coldest nights ever on Lower Wacker, and they recognize the gay black actor from Empire.
Because that's what miscreant white guys are going to do is walk around Chicago in the middle of the night looking for a black guy to beat up.
After they were done, they shouted, "This is MAGA country."
Right.
and went on their way.
That's what happened.
That's really what happened. And people believe this.
Oh,
the current vice president of the United States went on a little cry fest tour to support her friend Jussie Smollett.
Yes, and first of all, once again, big thanks to Dave Chappelle for changing how we talk about the former Jussie Smollett.
Yes,
the current Jussie Smollett,
artist formerly known as.
That's right. So in 2021, he's actually convicted of the fraud. Here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they have full evidence and a confession by the two guys, the two black African guys, like straight out
literal,
African,
literal
guy.
African
yes.
guys, yeah.
Ugandan, I think they were,
yeah.
That he paid to fake this.
Yeah. And so the police are ticked.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they wasted a lot of money and energy because you got a high profile person, mm-hmm. you got a Hollywood actor on, I guess that show was pretty popular.
It was.
A big, like, I think it was on Fox.
I exaggerate about the audience. Obviously, it had wide popular appeal, but still.
But it was particularly, I mean.
It was particularly a black show.
Yeah.
It really was.
And so they put a lot of money in this. I mean, there's a lot of public pressure. Hollywood, politicians, media, everybody's all about this. And then they pretty quickly figured out this guy's full of crap.
Yeah, I think they knew a lot earlier on than they told us. And they were trying to figure out a way to get out of it.
Yeah, they'll let him save face.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's prosecuted. He's convicted. I've actually got a sentence here. He was sentenced in 2021. My papers are sticking together here. Okay, he was sentenced to 150 days in jail.
Okay.
So not a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what, 5 months?
Yeah.
He served 6 days before he was let go because he's appealing.
Right.
He was sentenced to 30 months of probation, so not even 3 years.
Right.
He was ordered to pay $130,000 and change in restitution, which basically reimburses the police department for the investigation cost for them chasing a fake story.
Right.
Honestly, this was in 2021. It's 2024 right now.
Yeah.
All of this could have been done, but he's appealed his conviction to the state Supreme Court. Now, let's say that the Illinois Supreme Court says, no, we're going to uphold the conviction. He's got 144 days left to serve in jail, and then 30 months of probation, and he still owes $130,000, which he probably has in his wallet right now. So he's putting it back into the headlines.
Yeah.
When he could have been done with this.
Yeah, he could have just let it die. And that's one of the things that they, isn't that one of the things they teach in communications, like how you deal with like crisis sort of situations?
Yeah.
You do your best to get through it fast and let it die because people have relatively short memories. The public, I should say, short memories.
Think about all the other like Hollywood types out there who have done terrible things.
Oh, horrible things.
I mean, there are times like, actors who are very popular and we like them now even, and then somebody goes, hey, remember when that thing happened? And you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh wow, but did you see the latest movie?
There are actors today who killed people in drunk driving accidents, and we saw the thing, we saw them go through, you know, people who've been, you know, convicted of various horrible things that they've done, video of them doing horrible things, and we all just kind of, it's water under the bridge when they got their new thing that came out.
Right, their new shiny object for us to follow.
Yeah.
I mean, Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes.
Terrible.
Oh, yeah. Some of those recordings of him.
Anti-Semitism.
And then the recordings of him shouting at his daughter and things like that. It's like, yeah, everybody forgets that stuff.
Right. And so with this right here, Juicy, who, and I think the react, because this kind of became a racial thing for a minute.
Well, it was intended to be a sort of a follow along with the hate crime hoax analysis or narrative that everybody was pushing.
Right, because it was, oh, you don't believe Juicy Smollett? You don't believe Jussie Smollett? You don't believe him? Well, of course, you white person, you wouldn't believe that at all. God.
Well, yeah,
and it was supposed to be, you know, you rally around the victim.
White supremacy is alive and well in America, look at this.
Look at what happened to him. Mm-hmm. And that actually did come up some, you know, times when some of the big celebrity stars, and there's a couple I'm trying to think of, I think, who did. I don't remember. Well,
who came out in defense of him.
Who basically said white supremacy is alive or some version of this look what just happened to him.
Oh, yeah, there were plenty of them.
And then it was agitating a lot of stuff. And then when it turns out that he faked it, suddenly they're kind of slinking back into the shadows, and there was nobody who goes, hey, we got bad information, we should be angry at him for further dividing us.
Oh, yeah, nobody owned up to that.
They went and looked for the next victim to be angry about instead. Mm-hmm. And so what does the Illinois Supreme Court do? Now, Illinois, obviously a far left state when it comes to government. So I honestly don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I'm a little surprised the Illinois Supreme Court took it up, because if I'm on the state Supreme Court, I'm like, this is a local criminal conviction. Why on earth are we dealing with this?
It's so weird. But the fact that they took it up suggests that they might have something in store for us. Consider they recently just affirmed the Second Amendment rights of illegal aliens.
Well, that wasn't the state Supreme Court.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the appeals court. Yeah, you're right.
So, but the Illinois state Supreme Court, I mean, this is typically not what state Supreme Courts do. But once again, you've got a Hollywood, you know, high profile thing. But the stupidity of Smollett and his apologist.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Just immensely stupid, because you're reminding everybody how ridiculous his actions are. And it's giving us all a good laugh. But you've got a failed attempt to create more division and racial division, but there for a few minutes.
Oh,
it was very successful.
It worked, and it had followed along with a number of others that were I won't say mildly successful, but they at least got the constant drumbeat of it in the conversation. You had the Bubba Wallace issue, the quote unquote noose in his garage, which is a pull handle for the door, which exists in every garage that I've ever seen.
There were multiple
is your job racing and you don't know what a pull chain in a garage looks like?
FBI agents were dispatched to investigate that. But here's the thing is that, you know, for instance, we had a case over here at was it SLU or Wash U with the graffiti on the underpass, I think that was Wash U. Because when things like this happen, our reaction now is to go, yeah, let's wait and see.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that actually was racially motivated.
That one was
crime. But we had to sit and wait and go, well, I don't know whether to be angry or upset because I don't know what to believe right now just because of stuff like this.
Well, prior to that, there was something at Mizzou, I think it was, where yes. there was a bag of dog crap or something right. had been left on a stoop at some place, and they took it as a racial thing, but it was just a blind person who did what they were supposed to do with when their dog went number two.
But there was another one where somebody said that they smeared feces in a swastika.
Oh yeah.
Pattern as well. Well, it turns out that was another hoax too.
Yeah, that's right.
And that
that's
happened
right.
at Mizzou as well.
Mm-hmm. Somebody trying to gin up something.
And then there was one of the black activist students at Mizzou, and this was going back, you know, a number of years, who said I was in, you know, the this area they described of the Mizzou campus, which I know pretty well. They said this truck, you know, drove by and a bunch of white guys were yelling racial stuff at me, and that caused a bunch of you know, protest, and people are angry, and I think they actually drove one of the top administrators out. Well, it turns out there was never any evidence that actually happened.
Never actually happened.
We don't know. Well, nope. Now with the Juicy Smollier thing, it just gives everybody something to point to. So if and when there will be some other anti-Semitic or anti-black or anti-white or anti-Asian or whatever, there is going to be some sort of racially motivated thing happen. But everybody now at this point goes, yeah, you remember the Jussie Smollett thing? Let's see. Let's wait.
Absolutely skeptical every single time now.
Yeah.
And it's their fault for jumping every time they cry wolf.
Yeah. All right. 314-912-1019. It is opening day of the season. Mm-hmm. Now, the actual home opener for the Cardinals probably should be a holiday here in the area.
Yeah.
I mean, like a legit holiday local here holiday. In the area.
Mm-hmm.
But opening day for the season, that means more to St. Louis than it does to many other cities. So the Cardinals opening it up on the road. Are you going to stay at work all day or are you going to go watch the game? Come on, be honest. You can tell me. It's just between us. 314-912-1019. I won't tell anybody else. You let me know.
Hold on, I'm renewing my subscription to Jet Magazine.
There you go.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
This is a Seal from
it
the
is.
90s.
Yeah.
The man who gave ugly dudes hope everywhere. Because he didn't even want to marry like the supermodel.
Yeah,
he and did. It's like, that's seriously, right. Look at the dude, and you're like, oh, if he can land a supermodel, there's hope for all this other ugly guys.
Yeah, you just have to be rich and famous.
Well, yeah.
And a good singer.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I already outkicked my coverage now since then. So, all right, 8:52 right now. Got Vic Porcelli coming away here in about 11 minutes or so. Hey, an opening day. And listen, it is true. St. Louis is so much more about baseball than so many other cities that this is a bigger. I mean, I bet you go to, I mean, whatever your favorite sports bar and grill is, they're going to be packed around 3:00 today.
Oh, yeah,
definitely.
As they should. As they absolutely should. You know, what's just still frustrating is I looked at, you know, getting one of the streaming subscription services to buy to watch the games.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the MLB one. I mean, just forget it.
That good?
Well, you can't watch the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
You can't watch the team in your market. So, like Stell, if you signed up and said, well, my Cubs are my favorite team, you could do that because you're not in Chicago.
Correct.
We can't do that with the Cardinals here. You know, if I wanted to sign up and my team was anything else, like I've got a buddy of mine who's a big Dodgers fan. Well, he can sign up and watch his home team all year long.
Mm-hmm.
I think unless they're actually in St. Louis, when they come to play here, then that gets blacked out. So it's a little bit frustrating. So you can spend a little bit more and do the Bally thing. But Bally's close to bankruptcy. So I don't know. But, you know, the Cardinals starting on the road here this year, it's bigger than baseball in St. Louis. And I don't know why St. Louis has held on to that, but I love it. I mean, I love it that we like the traditions of the game. We like the history of the game. You know, we like where St. Louis is. You know, trailblazed, and there's been a couple areas where St. Louis has trailblazed as far as the game and otherwise. But with opening day here this season, it's just kind of that hope renewed. You know, we know that the Cardinals are in a rough spot, especially with the injuries right now. You know, we're now two seasons without Yadier Molina and Albert Pujols. We're now one season without Adam Wainwright. So we're, you know, we know that we're in a thing of change. But the other thing is that if the Cardinals don't really win some, really do have a really good season, there's a lot of fan frustration right there. The Cardinals had better get serious about it, and we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens with them.
As someone who grew up in Chicago but came here, has lived here for, 54 years now, mm-hmm. been married to a Cardinals fan for 49 years, and has absorbed all of the Cardinal traditions over the years, there's no doubt in my mind that this is the most fun and knowledgeable opening day of the history of the team. And you get the Clydesdales, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And opening day, of course, next week at Busch Stadium. By the way, referring Blues Not just on Rumble, just mentioned, we talked about the bad situation with Juicy Smolier. So that's just another bad thing coming out of Illinois, just like the Cubs.
Hey, I can get this abuse at home, okay?
Got him.
That's right. And I knew you were going to do that. And if you want to know what we're talking about, look at our Facebook page, because I mentioned yesterday, all right, opening day of the season. Everybody come in. We're all wearing our Cardinals gear, right?
Yeah. I got red on. I got red.
And see, here's what happens is I get in around 3:30-ish, between 3 and 3:30. And you'll still get in, what, an hour later, an hour after that,
yeah,
or
four,
so? 4:15, something like that. And I kind of, you know, I hear the door and I hear, you know, Stell setting up stuff here in the studio, and my desk is, you know, across the way there. And I just knew when he walked in, I said, I know he's coming in decked out in Cub stuff. I just know he's doing that.
You could smell it.
And I walked in and I'm like, yep, he's got his Cubs jacket on and his Cub hat on. I knew that he was going to do that.
Yeah, you look at me and go, you are out of uniform.
That is first thing I said to him today.
Nice.
Gabe got it right.
Yeah, I did. And underneath, I've got my, I got another one. My Pujols number 5.
Nice. Yeah, I've just got my red, batting. It's like the batting practice or Sunday jersey, the red one. I always like the red jerseys.
Although you do have a blue shirt on underneath.
I got a blue shirt, underneath it, because I wanted to, I didn't have the right shade of blue, but I've got the blue shirt underneath it.
Oh, to match this.
The outline of it.
Stripe.
But it's kind of funny, because actually, in that little, while I lived in Kansas City and I played in the adult baseball leagues there, I was actually on the Cardinals. Mm. So is actually my jersey that I played with for like 8 or 9 years that I competed with, and I just still have the jersey.
Oh, that's kept cool.
So this has been my jersey for a long time.
Nice.
Yeah, and so I wear them when I go to day games here in St. Louis. It's to the point where I love going to Cardinals games, but I'm now to the point where I'm only going during the daytime. Not going to risk it going at night.
Same.
I'll wear this, or I'll, wear, I've got another red shirt that just says there's no crying in baseball. I'm like, you know what? That applies to the Cardinal fans. We're tough.
Mm.
Just saying. All right. Vic Porcelli coming your way here in about 7 minutes right here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. By the way, if you want to see me and Gabe kind of glaring down Stell, just look at our Facebook page right now, because the boss walked in and goes, we're going to be putting that out there for social media. So you can abuse Stell on Facebook right now.
Jeff said something about evidence. I don't know what he meant.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.